Is this a radio station, man? Is this the Rebel Radio Podcast from TrustMeI'mAJedi.com? Whoa!
Alrighty then.
This is the Rebel Radio Podcast.
Headbangers, this is Rudy Sarzo, and you're listening to the Rebel Radio Podcast at TrustMeI'mAJedi.com.
We should mate.
What?
Date. I said we should date sometime, you know, socially. Go out and kick it. Are you okay?
I'm fine. I just threw up in my mouth a little bit.
It's episode 30 of the Rebel Radio Podcast, found at TrustMeI'mAJedi.com. We are back with a brand new show. This is your host, Mark.
Frank T. Biscuit.
And Matt, the Electric Monkey, is literally put on his leash today, so to speak. The wife's got him by the leash. He's stuck at home.
Is he turning the old crank, music crank thing?
Probably so, you know, because we
running around, getting some coins from the...
We were texting him, calling him, oh man, she won't let me lose, man. She's got me by the balls and I'm stuck at home.
And she always has him by the balls.
Pretty much. Even when he's here, there's like 1 foot out the studio door because he's got to go, you know.
That's a pretty long leash to his sack.
I mean, if Jackie ever listens to these episodes, she's probably going to want to kill us one day.
I'm pretty sure she already wants to.
Never take a drink or food from her because she might, you know, put something in it.
Yeah.
But no, Matt's expecting a child in a couple of weeks, and we congratulate him on that. And he's not expecting a child. Jackie's expecting a child. And then so he's got some busy things going on in his life. So
well, since we're expecting a child, I hope it actually comes out as a baby.
Yes, exactly.
It'd be like awful if something else pops out.
But we have to bust his balls a little
bit.
Like,
this is not what we were expecting.
For not making the show. And so we'll forgive him. Frank missed the show a couple weeks ago, and you know we forgave him.
Did I miss the show? I don't even remember now.
You were being old.
Yeah, that happens when you're old.
Yeah, and so it's just me and Frank in the studio today, and maybe we'll have an appearance by a special person somewhere later. I don't know. You know, they made an appearance last week or 2 weeks ago, and they appeared as Frank. It was awkwardly cool.
So basically, you might get the stand-in.
Yeah, a stand-in voice again. You never know. You never know what'll happen on the Rebel Radio Podcast. And so it's been a couple weeks since we got together. Last show that you missed, Frank, me and Matt were talking about some sequels that we never got made and we would have liked to have seen made. And the special voice declared that you would have liked to have seen Breaking 3.
Actually, I was going to say that if I was here, I would have said that.
And it was kind of weird. It's like they knew that what you wanted to see. It was very strange.
Yeah.
If there was a movie besides, and Matt mentioned Buckaroo Banzai for you.
But actually, you and I have talked many a times that it would have been cool to have
If there was one, before we go on to today's topics, if there was one that you wanted to see a sequel to, can you think of one besides those couple of films?
Oh, man, there's so many.
That they never made. Me and Matt were kind of talking like, even though Equilibrium didn't need a sequel, we thought it would have been kind of cool to maybe see what happened after the liberation of, you know, liberty.
But see, these are things that you and I've talked about that we would have liked to seen sequels to,
you know,
before.
It's an interesting topic, and I don't know how the topic came up. I guess with we decided to talk about it because all these old movies getting sequels, you know, like Mad Max and Top Gun. There's rumors Top Gun 2 coming, you know, things like that. And it makes you wonder about movies that never got
probably,
sequels made.
If I thought about it, I'd probably go on a day long about the movies that shouldn't have had sequels.
And but you know, yeah, exactly. That's very true. That could be a whole episode of Rebel Radio.
I know.
This should have never been made.
But unfortunately, I don't know why, but I have all those sequels.
Like, to go on a little bit of a tangent here, like, you know, I actually want to do an episode about the current reboot trend in Hollywood right now. Eventually, one day we'll work it in. And speaking of sequels should never be made, I hate Ghostbusters 2. I think it's a bad movie.
Yes, it is a horrible movie.
And even to me, like Ghostbusters 2 alone makes no reason to reboot Ghostbusters. And I hate this idea of a female Ghostbusters. Everyone seems all high on it. I just think it's stupid. You know,
I'll just let it be what it is, because you know me. I'm like this. I've accepted and I kind of embrace. We're getting to the whole age of strong women, more women in roles and stuff.
Well, yeah, I know that, but it's
so
just
I'm
like,
not going to dog it because there's a couple of actors in it or actresses in it that I like,
but it's
until
just,
it's actually on the screen,
it's just why though.
You know,
it doesn't need.
I don't
made.
Know. I'm not going to dog it because it has women.
But
does it need to be remade all over again? Not necessarily.
Yeah, we'll see. But anyway, it's been a little slow news time. It always is after Comic-Con. It always, the month of August and September, a little slow. Then as we get to the fall, we'll start getting springtime news, 2016 movie news. The big fall movies are coming out.
Yeah, because there's nothing at the theater
now. But there has been some news. And one of them, last month we did a couple episodes on video games. And we talked about video game movies and how they haven't been highly successful or very good. And there are studios that are trying to change that. And most recently, there is an Assassin's Creed film coming at Christmas 2016. And Michael Fassbender, who is, of course, played Magneto in X-Men First Class and Days of Future Present, or Days of Future Past, sorry, he is playing the lead character. And it's not the character from the video games. They're going to do an original story with a new assassin. And but there will be characters from the games, apparently, that will make appearances and to tie it in with the games. And they released a photo of Fassbender in the costume. It looked a little digitized, like they kind of cleaned it up because maybe it's not the final costume. The good thing about this is video game movies, like we said, have gotten a bad rap. They haven't been made well. But it's kind of nice to see that a good actor like Michael Fassbender, who's an excellent actor, getting behind this and into the role. And if there's a guy who can pull off this movie, maybe it's him. You know?
Well, that's the thing. The fact that they're moving it away from the video game storylines as far as what happened in the video games, because I think that's what hurts so many video games.
The concepts are cool, but they don't work as a movie. Sometimes you need to change them a little bit.
Right, but if you look at so many video games, they try to take the characters that are in the video games and then create a movie around them, and then they butcher the character, they butcher the storyline, and they would just... Like this, they're not taking the character from the first game or any of the other games. They're creating an original story that's based in the realm of, in the same world of Assassin's Creed. So it could be its own standalone story, and that you're not judging it against the video games themselves. As long as they keep true to how the feel of the game goes, you know, he runs, he hides, he jumps and climbs, and he sneaks up on people and stabs them from behind.
So we'll see. I mean, maybe Michael Fassbender doing Assassin's Creed will change the video game culture as far as movies go when it hits theaters next year in 2016. And moving on, because we can spend a lot of time talking about video game movies again, but we have some really cool stuff to talk about here later involving Kevin Smith and his films. And one more quick news note before we get into the big stuff today is... We got 9 seconds of footage from Star Wars The Force Awakens this weekend. And this just shows you how big this movie is, because people get excited over the smallest things.
Like 9 seconds.
They released it on Instagram, which was interesting, on Thursday afternoon, actually. Then they got everyone excited, thinking, oh, a new trailer's coming. Sorry, suckers, no new trailer yet, just 9 seconds of footage.
9 seconds.
And the cool thing about the 9 seconds of footage was that we got John Boyega's character, who was Finn, holding a lightsaber and igniting it. And
Jedi are not.
And it got people wondering, what is his character? How is he related? Because everyone thinks that this has the character from the first trailer, or the person in the first trailer that, or the second trailer that Luke refers to, that you have that power too. Who's he talking to? And a lot of people thought it was Daisy Ridley's character. Now they're wondering, is it John Boyega's character? And so it gets people talking, and it looks really cool. Him in the dark in the snow, Kylo Ren lights up his lightsaber first, then you see Finn light up his.
Is it related to Lando?
Is that just because he's black?
You think I'm a stereotype type of person? Pretty much.
So
it could be.
It got people excited. J.J. Abrams says a new Star Wars trailer is coming, but he has mentioned probably October, which makes sense, a couple months before the film. And J.J. and Disney have done a great job of not giving us too much. They give us enough to get us really excited.
Like 9 seconds.
But, there's no doubt that this movie is going to be huge. A lot of people are predicting biggest opening weekend ever. Biggest global opening ever. They just announced that it's going to be on IMAX films for an entire month. On IMAX screens, I meant. from December 18th when it comes out till mid-January, so they've bought all IMAX screens across the nation for a month.
Will it outdo Jurassic World?
And I think it will. I think it's going to be the number one movie of the year. I think this will be the biggest Star Wars film to date as far as how much money it makes. And
I'll be honest.
Yeah, I think the anticipation for it is at a fever pitch. It's higher than it was even in 1999 when The Phantom Menace came out.
I mean, why wouldn't it be? We get the original cast members.
And I'm going to go ahead and announce it now. If you follow us on Facebook, we had promised two announcements coming. One, which we already did, which we kind of talked about on the show, was the Rebel Radio Podcast Classics, which me and Frank are going to talk about a little bit later in the show today. The other announcement, which I didn't get on Facebook yet, was us and the Warp Cave, our other podcast on our network, are going to be doing a total in 12 parts, six from us and six from the Warp Cave, leading up to The Force Awakens. And we're calling it The Road to The Force Awakens. And that will start in early November leading up to the film. And we are not revealing yet what we're going to discuss on those episodes, but there will be six episodes from us and six episodes from the Warp Cave, all leading to The Road to The Force Awakens. And it seems like it's been a long road, but it's exciting. We're going to have six Star Wars films in the next 6 years.
Yeah.
I mean, that's pretty cool. And you weren't on the last episode, and did you get a chance to look at the picture of the cast of Rogue One?
No.
And the way they look, and it was kind of cool. You see, and they kind of look like rogues. Like, it's like a, you know, outcast stealing these Death Star plans. You know, it looks like.
But that's exciting. Cool though. I kind of like a grittier.
And I know you're a big martial arts fan. You saw that Donnie Yen is in the film.
Nice.
Yeah, I mean, Donnie Yen in a Star Wars movie. That's pretty cool.
Hey, quick question. When you saw your first Star Wars movie, how old were you?
I vaguely remember being maybe 4 or 5, my dad taking me to see Star Wars, I think. Because you remember back then, they re-released stuff a lot. You know, the film came out in 77, but you didn't have home video. They would continually play things in theaters over 3 or 4 years.
Like the Dollar Theater and stuff like that.
And I guess my mom has told me my dad took me in to see it, and we were standing in line for several hours, and I had to be a little bit older because I was only one when Star Wars came out. And if I was old enough to see it, it might have been
Return of Jedi.
It could have been a re-release in 79, you know, a couple years later.
Yeah.
You know.
I mean, because, like, you think about it. Your son, your first son, Michael, this will be truly his first Star Wars
movie. Well, yeah, I took him to see The Phantom Menace when they re-released it in 3D.
But this will be his first Star Wars movie.
And it's a whole cool. It's 35, almost 40 years later. So
I just think it's kind of cool. A whole new generation of Star Wars films. Roughly around your age, and you'll get to take him to see it. You know, how many dads are out there, or moms that are Star Wars nerds that'll get to do that with their kids for the first time?
Yeah, and I mean, as everyone knows, Star Wars Force Awakens hits theaters on December 18th. And you bet your money we're going to talk about it a lot on the Rebel Radio Podcast. I mean, the namesake of our website, TrustMeOnAJedi.com, is taken from Star Wars.
Yeah, because us, we're a Jedi.
Well, only in Frank's own mind when he's on the toilet is he a Jedi.
Yeah, you have to use the Force sometimes.
So, I mean, that's the news we got today. But we've got some big stuff coming up here on Rebel Radio. We're going to talk Kevin Smith. I recently had a chance to encounter him. And that's next on the Rebel Radio Podcast.
I've heard police work is dangerous.
It is. That's why I carry a big gun.
Aren't you afraid it might go off accidentally?
I used to have that problem.
What did you do about it?
I just think about baseball.
This is Booker T, Hall of Famer, and you're listening to Rubber Radio. Now, can you dig that, sucker?
That's right! We can't have anyone freak out there, okay? We've got to keep our composure! We've come too far! There's too much to lose! We've got to just... Keep
so, Frank, we don't have Matt here today, who's kind of our own version of a what would you call him in the Clerks, Jay and Silent Bob world? He's not really Jay. He's kind of like our Dante in a way. He gets picked on a lot. He is nothing.
Yeah.
But anyway, we bring this up because Kevin Smith was here in Houston for a couple of shows at the Improv, and he also did a signing at Pop Culture Comic Company, and I want to give a shout out to Pop Culture for putting this on. They were able to get Kevin Smith for a meet and greet for a couple hours this past week, and I went to it, and I got to meet Kevin Smith, which was kind of very cool. I had met Jay before at Comic Palooza, and I've met, of course, the guys in Comic Book Men, and Kevin Smith was kind of the trifecta of it, getting to meet him. And so we're going to talk a little bit about Kevin Smith and his films here in a minute, but I want to talk about my experience meeting Kevin Smith. And being in this line of, I guess we'll call it work, that we do podcasting and websites, we've met a lot of celebrities, you and I, over the last several years. And Kevin, it was a very brief moment. It was only maybe 3 or 4 minutes of my time, but it may have been one of the best 3 or 4 minute experiences I've ever had of meeting a celebrity. He shook my hand. He looked me right in the eye. He said, "Thank you for coming," and you could tell he meant it. And he patted you on the back. He declared my baby son Wyatt adorable, and he signed. He made a joke about, I told him I had another son running around the comic store somewhere, and he's like, he just said, "Oh, somewhere, that's good." I go, and I told him, so, "Well, it could be a worse place to lose him in a comic store." He goes, "No, that's true. He's probably okay here." You know, and it was just a really, in just a short 3 or 4 minutes, it was a very personable experience. And Kevin has always had a good reputation of being like that with his fans, and I got to experience it in that short time. And I wish I could have had more time spent with him, but, you know, he just seemed like a type of guy that you could sit and talk to and have a conversation with. And it was very cool. I mean, I don't know if I'd use the word hero for him, because growing up, I didn't really grow up with him. We kind of discovered him. We were already grown up whenever he came out with Clerks. Yeah. But he's definitely someone who's been an inspiration for the things we do, because he's that little guy that made it big. A lot of us wouldn't be podcasting if it wasn't for him, because he made podcasting popular. Everyone knows
that. So he's kind of like he's kind of like us in a sense, but he kind of made it.
He really is. I mean, he maxed out his credit cards. He sold his comic book collection to finance Clerks. And
that takes some guts.
And for me, I think Clerks was the first, you know, they used the word independent film. That was really popular in the 90s, you remember?
Yeah.
Now people just take them as films. But I think Clerks was the first independent film I ever saw. I didn't know what an independent movie was. You know, I was all about the blockbusters and going to the theater and seeing stuff blow up. And people kept saying, "You have to see Clerks, you have to see Clerks." And I know I didn't see it in theaters. I know I saw it on video, as a lot of people did. And but it was and it was my first independent film I ever watched, and it made me think, wow, movies can be something besides explosions. And it was really funny. And we watched it recently. You and I did. You were hanging out over here one night. And it still holds up well today, even 20 years later.
I think because a lot of the humor still resonates to what goes on in life today.
It has timeless humor. It's funny. It's shot in black and white because, you know, he did it on a very low budget. And he filmed it mostly with his friends and people he knew.
I mean, you know? Look at it. The humor is how you deal with your friends,
yeah.
Work, and people you deal at work with,
and,
you know?
And then you start reading about this guy back then. You find out he's a comic book fan, a Star Wars junkie, a movie buff. You're like, wow, he's just like us. And he's your age. You know, he's in his early 20s when he makes Clerks and... You know, and we were coming.
Writer,
I was coming out of high school.
All these things, you know.
And then, you know, he went on to make Mallrats, and that one I did see in theaters. I was like, okay, I have to go see this guy's second movie in theaters. And I remember seeing Mallrats, and it's got Stan Lee making a cameo in it. It's got tons of comic book references in it. It's got Ben Affleck making an early role before he was known in it. Jason Lee plays, you know, Brody in it. It's a fun movie too. And you kind of watch Kevin Smith's films, and you feel like you made a good point about they resonate even today, because it feels like you're watching things that went on in your life on screen.
Yeah, I mean, and it's things that still go on today, and it may be a little changed because of the cultures, but there's a lot of similarity in these things.
Right, and then there's like, when you meet characters like Jay and Silent Bob and Dante and Brody, You relate to them because most of us know someone like those guys in our real life. We knew Ben Affleck's character in Mallrats was the jock prep kind of douchebag. You know, everyone knew someone like him in high school. Brody was the skater, just wants to play video games and hang out. You know, we knew him. We knew Jay and Silent Bob. We knew types like that were selling weed on the side of the school or whatever. You know, and the pretty girls in the movies that wanted nothing to do with, you know, the regular guys. You know, we knew people like that. And I think that's why Kevin Smith took experiences and he put them into the films, and it gave the people, the kids in the 90s, a voice to have films they can relate to. And I actually read somewhere that someone compared him to the 90s version of John Hughes. You know, maybe. I know John Hughes' films are a little more overdramatic. Kevin Smith's films were a little bit more, you know...
Humorous.
A little bit more real, in a sense, you know.
Yeah.
And now he did go off a little bit when he made Dogma with the angels and all that. He started getting a little out there and weird, and you know, but he was having some fun with it. You know, he was probably smoking a lot
of dope. I think he's wanting to go a little, but just a tad bit different direction than what he was, and then kind of reeled it back and said, you know what, this is what I make the best.
And he makes some really good series from, like, Chasing Amy is an excellent film about, which was so ahead of its time. It's about a girl who discovers that she really is a lesbian, and you know, and she falls in love. It's been a while since I watched Chasing Amy.
No, that was your story, Mark, your life story, where you met a girl and she turned into a lesbian.
Very funny. No, it takes place before nowadays. It's very common to have films about, you know, gay relationships. And back then when Chasing Amy came out, that was kind of unspoken ground.
Think about it.
And he made it, and it's an excellent film.
Nowadays, it wouldn't have held up. You know, not say held up, but it wouldn't have had its impact.
Right.
That it has, you know, then, back then.
Jay and Silent Bob make an appearance in it, and it's a brief appearance in the movie, and then Silent Bob gives the most important speech he does in all the Kevin Smith films. You know? And then after that, he made Jay and Silent Bob Strike Back, which was supposed to be the last film with those characters ever. And, you know, it's funny, that's probably my favorite movie, even though it's the most childish of the movies. It's my favorite just because it's so much fun. Yeah, George Carlin making an absolutely vulgar appearance at the beginning of the film, but it's so funny. You know, it's ridiculous. It's about Jay and Silent Bob trying to stop a movie being made about themselves. Just absolute potty humor. Ridiculous jokes. You got lots of cameos in the cast. Mark Hamill, of course, makes an appearance at the end of the film as Cockknocker.
Which, in a sense, is kind of a stoner movie.
What's your favorite Kevin Smith film out of those? You know,
honestly, it goes back to that one.
Yeah, I mean, we saw James
Earl Jones. Out of all of them, that's the one I would probably keep watching over and over again. You know,
it's a fun movie.
I mean, come on, it ends with, you know, every time it comes on the radio at work, we make cracks about it. You know, Jungle.
Oh yeah, yeah. I mean, worst day in the time.
Motherfucking dog. Sorry.
Frank customer room. But it's hard not to talk about Kevin Smith films with a little bit of language, because they're not for kids. I mean, his films are very grown up.
Yes,
and you know, in recent years he made Clerks 2, which was a lot of fun. I mean, the Rosario Dawson dancing on the roof scene is worth it alone.
Oh my gosh.
And then he's made some other films. He made Jersey Girl and Cop Out, which, you know, weren't as well received. You know, he tried some other things. And I haven't seen Tusk yet, which I've heard is very bizarre and weird. Red State, I haven't seen that either. I think that's where it's like I have a horror movie where kids have to survive at a camp or something, I think.
I thought he was just basically making fun of, you know, Republican states.
I haven't seen that. But now Kevin Smith is kind of turning back around to the stuff that's made him who he is. He's doing a film called Yoga Hosers, which is he describes it as like a alternate version of Clerks in a way, and it's got his daughter in it. And then he's fixing to start filming.
An alternate version of Clerks where like everybody likes to go to work and have a good time.
And then I know starting next month they're filming Mallrats 2. And then he's talking.
But how will that work in this modern day? Because malls just don't seem like they're the same as they were back in the 90s. What's
funny about it is Jay and Silent Bob, who are in their 40s now, hanging out in the mall. You know? And then apparently he's going to do a Clerks 3 after that. And then he swears after that he's done with these characters.
See, what they should do is just a mashup of Clerks and Mallrats, and have the guys working in like the mall, and just have Jay and Silent Bob standing around in the mall.
Well, he had talked
why people walk by and making facts about people.
Because he had kind of talked about that at one point about doing and combining all the characters in one, but he said the scripts work better as second films. And Kevin Smith, it's funny because, you know, he's not that director. He's not Michael Bay or Steven Spielberg, who's ever made, you know, these huge blockbuster films that make $400 million or whatever. But he's become a pop cultural icon in a way because of the things he's done, because he's the little man that made it big, and he relates to the people. Like I said, in those brief moments I met him, you could tell he cared. And maybe he didn't. Maybe I'm totally wrong on this, but that's the sense I got from him. And people know who he is. My mother knows who he is. my boss at work who's asked me, he goes, hey, where'd you take a picture of Kevin Smith? That kind of surprised me because he just didn't seem like the pop culture type of guy.
Yeah.
You know, and that shows you that Kevin Smith has been able to cross over and have a pop culture impact.
But, you know, talking about Mallrats, I think they could take Jay and Silent Bob, take both of those characters, set some hidden cameras up and a microphone, and just let Jason Mewes play Jay and be totally improv. And you could sit there, really record 24 hours worth of footage.
And that's the thing.
Him just improvising on, like, making comments about people walking by would be hilarious.
Well, that's the thing. Before we brought the Rebel Radio Podcast back from being a radio show, I got to meet Jay a couple years ago, so I've never talked about this on the show before. And but Jay is very much, well, Jason Mewes is his real name. Jason is very much Jay in real life. He's exactly like
him. Yes, that's what I'm saying.
So you say play Jay, he doesn't have to play.
Well, that's what I'm saying. You just put him in his outfit as Jay.
We're sitting there. I sat in on an interview with Carrie at the Metal Geeks podcast, and Jay's sitting there talking. He did the interview and everything, and afterwards when we were done, he's like, man, guys, you know, it's been good. I wish I could hang longer, but I got to go take a major dump. I mean, that's Jason Mewes. That's how he is in real life. He's like, most celebrities aren't going to tell you they got to go take a major dump, you know?
I mean, for the most part, you probably just said, we're going to roll the camera, be yourself.
Yeah, pretty much. And, but, you know, I know you're not a huge on meeting celebrities. You know, you can take it or leave it. And
my thing is, I appreciate what they do, but what am I going to ask them? A thing that hasn't been asked thousand times or more?
Well, I know that, but it's not that, I've kind of over the years that we've been working with, you know, for people that don't know, I work with Comp Blues also, I'm one of their blogger, and the first couple years we did it, I would get excited, a little nervous to meet them, and now it's like, I've kind of gotten to the point, it's like, okay, it's not that big a deal anymore. And but there are certain guys I could still geek out on, and Kevin Smith's definitely one of them. And you know, if we ever had a chance to meet Harrison Ford or Mark Hamill,
any
Star Wars guys, those would be big ones.
It was funny. You know? My wife and I were actually literally talking about this because she asked me why I didn't go to see Kevin Smith, and one because I had to work. And I explained to her that I just don't get big into celebrities. She's like, "Well, celebrity wise, who?" Because I was like, "What am I going to ask him that 1,000?" She goes, who would you like to meet? And I said, the first thing that came out of my mind was Harrison Ford. Out of all celebrities, I would love to meet Harrison Ford.
Yeah, he would be one. You know, I think there's a couple of film directors I wouldn't mind meeting just to pick their brain. Like, I think it'd be cool to talk to Christopher.
If you could actually sit there and talk to him.
Christopher Nolan, you know, what he was thinking. We made Batman, George Lucas, you know, of course. Maybe, obviously, Spielberg, you know. But you know, and those would be almost more like you want to talk to him than meet him. Yeah, I could care less about Steven Spielberg's autograph. It'd be cool to listen to him tell stories about making films. You know, Tom Cruise, I think he'd be a neat guy to meet, you know, because I've heard great things about him in person. You know, but Kevin Smith is probably up there on my list, and I don't know if in recent memory, he's probably one of the biggest ones I met that was really cool to meet.
Well, I remember you texted me, and you're all like, I don't know, I have my kids, and blah, blah, this. And
I wasn't sure if I wanted to go somewhere.
I text you back, and I'm like, really, man, when in the heck do you think you're ever going to get this opportunity again?
That was my thing.
Oh, yeah, you're right.
And I hope we get him at Comp Blues in Houston or something one day. But
I think coming here and he's seeing that he had a good fan base that actually probably attended, and plus it shows that he might actually make the trip.
Right. Here. And what's cool is I tweeted out the photo I took with him, and we put it on our Facebook and everything, and he took the time to favorite the tweets on my personal Twitter and on Trust Me on Jedi's Twitter. And maybe that doesn't seem like anything, but that means a lot that he took the time to do it. And from what I know about him, he is one of the celebrities that does do his own social media. He does not hire someone to do it. In fact, he pulled up into Pop Culture Comics in his own rent-a-car. He didn't have his agent with him or nothing. I think he had one person with him, like probably a handler or something. But, you know, but that was it, you know.
Yeah.
He's very...
get them the water.
Yeah, he's very much a regular guy. He probably had a handler who does the business stuff, signs papers for him or whatever. But he got out of the driver's side of the car because we saw him get out of the car. So he drove himself, you know.
Well, the fact that this guy doesn't like to fly, apparently.
No, that's Walter.
Oh, is it Walter?
That's Walter. You get on.
Oh yeah, okay, yeah, that's right.
Walter.
Yeah, we'll never see him.
Yeah, he doesn't like to fly. You know, but it was just a cool experience, and you know, we've had some good ones. You know, we got to meet Danny Trejo a couple years ago, very briefly.
Oh, Danny, so
that was right up there with the list, and I think Kevin Smith is right up there too. Those are probably my top two celebrity encounters so far in the years that I've gotten to meet people.
I like Danny just because Danny was just like so into it.
Yeah,
he appreciated it. It seemed like he truly appreciated being there. He appreciated the fans, the artists. I mean, he hit the artist role and just came over and took a picture with our friend of ours, Mark Nasso.
Did some artwork for him, you know, and which my wife photobombed Machete and lived to tell about it.
Photobombed Machete, you know, and lived.
And it's hard. You know, they are regular people, celebrities, and people forget that. But it is cool to geek out with them. And I would have loved to have more time to talk to Kevin Smith than I had. But I'll take the 3 or 4 minutes I did have, and I'll always remember it because that's just how. It's hard to describe the feeling, like just the way he was in those 3 or 4 minutes. He looked me right in the eye and he talked to you, and you were the focus of the room. He's sharp as can be. You know, everyone knocks him for being kind of a stoner, but Kevin Smith is very sharp. He's right on cue. You know, he knew what was going on, and it was a really cool moment. And I'll stop geeking out too much here on the show.
I don't blame you.
But if you have any favorite Kevin Smith films or moments, you know, share it with us on our Facebook page or our Twitter. You know, we'd like to hear from our fans and get some more interaction going.
Post some comments on the picture he took with Kevin Smith and let us.
And I'm sure when Mallrats 2 comes out, we'll be at the theaters going to see it. I mean, you know.
It'll probably just be you and me. I don't think it'll be little kid appropriate.
Or Matt, if his wife doesn't let him out of the house. I mean,
I said it wasn't little kid appropriate.
Oh, well, that's true. So, you know, a little bit different talking about Kevin Smith here on the show. We're going to, before we go today, we're going to talk about the Rebel Radio Classics that are coming to TrustManAjaya.com very soon here on the Rebel Radio Podcast.
Hey, is any balls down there?
About the biggest pair you ever seen, Diggleberry.
Shit, yeah. We's got to get paid.
And on that note, we cue the music.
A-mat-mat-mat.
Banana-na.
A-mat-mat-mat.
Banana-na.
A-mat-mat-mat.
A-mat-mat-mat. A-mat-mat-mat.
I'd like to thank the Academy.
Hey, you're listening to Rebel Radio Podcast, and this is Jay Muse, Snooch to the Nooch. Trust me, I'm a Jedi.com. Go there and do it.
So we've been talking today on the Rebel Radio Podcast about some of the recent Assassin's Creed and Star Wars news, and we talked Kevin Smith films, getting to meet Kevin Smith. I did this week, and that was kind of cool. And we've got some stuff coming up. Actually, hopefully, I hope to have it ready in the next week or two, the first edition of the Rebel Radio Classics. We've been talking a little bit about this throughout the weeks, and we started the Rebel Radio show as a internet radio show back in 2006. So our 10th anniversary is coming up next March. So we are going to release one volume a month, starting in September, 6 or 7 episodes of classics leading up to a big 10th anniversary show this March. And we're getting the first Rebel Radio Classics edition ready for you for release on TrustMeOnTheJedi.com, and should be out next week. And we're going to be talking a lot about these next few weeks. Matt did some of those shows with us, and our friend Dago Nick, who is no longer, we don't know where he is. He's not, we don't think he's gone.
He's on
gone.
A walkabout.
Yeah, he's on a walkabout. That's a good way.
Is that what the mob official calls
and,
it?
Yeah, and Dago Nick was part of the show, and we had some good memories of doing the shows.
Huh? Oh, yeah.
You know, we did them very rogue style. Since we're talking Star Wars, we'll say rogue style. Couple of cheap mics. It was internet streaming radio. It wasn't the best sound quality. So when you hear those audios coming up, the sound's not always the best, but we wanted to bring them to you because we had all the audio.
I think the mic was literally, what, a computer mic?
Yeah, they were just basic
computer mic for gaming.
We had some fun doing some. They were ridiculously silly. Very much would fit in with Kevin Smith's film. A lot of dick and fart jokes and just ridiculous stuff. I don't want to spoil too much because I want people to listen to stuff. I know one of Frank's favorite episodes was when we did the old men sing the blues. And I think we're going to bring those in one of the editions where we act like old blues men and singing the blues to you. And it was, we had no idea.
That
what
was so old.
We had no idea. We had no clue what we were doing. We still sometimes don't have a clue what we're doing. But we have a lot of fun. And me and Frank and Matt bring these shows to you because we are best friends, and we enjoy doing this, and we hope y'all enjoy listening. And we're looking forward to bringing the Rebel Radio Classics to y'all. And I want to give an official release date on that. I'm hoping for like September 10th, have in about a week and a half to have that first show out. And because I'm working on putting the audio together. We used to do a lot more movie clips in between the commercial breaks. And well, not commercial. Yeah. We played music on that show because it was streaming radio.
Right.
And I'm going to add some of those old movie clips and stuff.
And we weren't worried about getting hit with piracy.
No. And I'm going to add some old music clips into these and movie clips just to make them fun and make them feel like they were part of the classic. And we'll talk more about that. Each show will have a new brand new intro done by us, and we'll explain what some of the shows were so you hear them. So they're not just blind audio. So look for the Rebel Radio Classics coming to TrustMeAmAJedi.com. And speaking of TrustMeAmAJedi.com, make sure you're following us on Facebook, Twitter, Google+, Pinterest, all those things, so you can keep up with the latest that's going on the show, because we've got a lot of stuff coming. We've got the classics, we've got the Road to the Force Awakens coming, and we don't want you to miss anything, because we're hot and sexy and cool, and you don't want to miss that.
Wow, Mark got a magic mirror in his bedroom, don't he?
But we thank you again for listening to the Rebel Radio Podcast. We couldn't do this without the support of our fans, and we do have a lot of fun, like I said, bringing it to you. And this has been a new episode of the Rebel Radio Podcast, another episode, I guess. Hanging out with me in the studio, as always, the dynamic duo of
Frank T. Biscuit,
Matt the Electric Monkey,
who finally hit puberty. We have to mess with Matt a little bit. He didn't make the show today, but he is expecting a child in a couple weeks, and we congratulate our brother on that. And this has been your host, Mark, and until next time, Snoochie Boochies.
To the booch.
Matt, Matt, Matt.
Snoogans.
Matt, Matt, Matt. Matt, Matt, Matt. Matt, Matt, Matt. Matt, Matt, Matt. Matt, Matt, Matt.